So as we dive in, I'm going to do my best to not give you just a history lesson. That's not what I'm here for. What I'm here to do, hopefully, is bring truth out of the Word of God in a very difficult, hard situation that our world is in. It's been in for a long time, but to try to bring truth to your walk, your journey, your faith. And so this has no intention to be political. It has no intention for me to give you my bias best I can, but I will always lean to what the Word of God says and bring you forth to that. We started last week looking at this Middle East, the relationship between Arabs and Israelis, kind of what is all that about, and how is the church to relate to that? We did a little bit of a little review here of history. We went back a few years, kind of give us perspective of it all started with Adam and Eve, right? And then there was a lot that went on from there. We even had the Great Flood. And by the way, there's a big table across the sound booth, AV booth back there, that has the world history all in a chrono. It's fun to stop by and take a look at. But we began to talk about where kind of life and civilization and culture began to form in Mesopotamia. We shared how after the flood, the three sons of Noah, how their clans or their people grew and spread across that particular area of the world. We even began to talk about the journey of Abraham and what all that meant as far as where he traveled, that he began in a land called Ur, where I'm going to show you a slide on that, and did some moving around. But if you look at the timeline on the side, I've kind of merged some things, some key pivot points, key places of conflict or where things began to unravel. You have, of course, Ishmael born, Isaac, the separation of that. If you didn't catch last week, I'm not going to speak on it, but there's all the details of those stories there. Leading up to the twins, Jacob and Esau, Esau selling his birthright, Jacob getting Isaac's blessing. Here's the travels of Abraham and his clan, and how he moves from Ur to Haran and from Haran down to Goshen, and was not there long and was back up to where he and Jacob and others were there as far as the children, the lineage of Abraham. And I wanted to bring just this reminder of so much goes on that we in the United States of America don't realize. There's so much history that precedes them that adds to the present day ways. Would you all agree with that? How many have a history? Aren't you glad that God delivered you from a lot of it? I mean, as far as through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, it's a good thing. So when we move into this a little bit tighter shot this week, I wanted to pick up with this history just real quick. I'm going to run through a bunch of some history slides, but we find Jacob is kind of picks up the storyline, and Jacob wasn't really a solid guy yet. I mean, he's kind of got his he flees because Esau. I mean, there's some friction there. There's some conflict, and he flees, and he's trying to find his way. But it's so neat that no matter whether you're a good decision maker or you do everything right or not, isn't it neat when God commits to you, he's faithful? When God says, I promise these things, he's faithful. He says, when I'm going to walk with you, he's faithful. This world's going to be unfaithful if you want to think about it. If man without the Lord or the presence of the Spirit, there's so much you can go on. But it helps us kind of begin to think about this progression, this soul journey. And so what Jacob does, and of course that leads, there's only a few hundred years there, right? Lots. Where it leads us into Moses. We've all seen Yul Brynner. He was born a little early in his time, and do y'all know who? No one knows who's anyway. That's the Ten Commandments back in the day when they filmed it the first time, right? But it's an interesting thing to see the progression of this. The people, in fact, Israel. The name Israel is yet to be to happen. And when you think about this conflict that we're even experiencing today, especially trying to understand the Middle East, it's very difficult because there is a ethnicity of Arabs, that doesn't mean they all like each other. It doesn't even mean that they're all from the same clan. There's over time, and you say, well, what's an ethnicity or what is your ethnic group? It's whatever through DNA over many, many, many years, you'd say, oh, they're from the area of. You know, if somebody has their DNA done, say, oh, you came from England or you came from this this or that or whatever tribe. That's kind of an ethnicity. So you have this piece that's always part of culture, no matter where it is. Then there's culture. And culture is another thing that can get in the way. You can be an Arab, but not necessarily like somebody else here because your culture is different. You have a different inheritance. You have a different way of living. Maybe your customs and your food and the way you eat and holidays are different. Are you tracking with me so far? And then you have religion. These three things wrap up who a people are, who even you are. And a religion can be something where you believe this way or that. You can say, well, I'm Anglo, whatever, but I have a culture of Southern Texas. I don't know. I'm trying to pick something, you know, and I'm a independent Baptist. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? You can have all these varying degrees and it can create positive and negative. One thing that Abram brought is into this culture way back then, there was a poly or multiple theistic type of faith or religion. They worshiped lots of gods. And he brought this monotheistic, meaning one, into being. And that's why he's called the father of nations, father of many denominations. But I wanted to bring part of what's going on over there right now. And you wonder, well Syria doesn't like this, but they're going to fight over here. Or it's because maybe ethnically they're the same, but they're different in so many other ways. Every Arab is not necessarily Islam, a Muslim. There are Christian, you know, culturally, or so far is anybody tracking with me here? I'm going to have to hurry up and push fast forward here. I just wanted to cover that because I think sometimes we don't, why would they, if they're fighting each other over here, why would they turn around and join arms over here? That's why it's so crazy over there, okay? Just know that. And I know that doesn't happen on football fields or anything. Boy, I could go with that, couldn't we? Anyway, good games. But I wanted to bring forward this and set us up a little bit as we look into some facts about the land over there. And if you have your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 7, we're going to kind of pick it up there. And it starts off, it says, "For you are a people holy to God, holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession." Now, who chose? God did. "Out of all the peoples who were on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that God set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people. But it is because God loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers." It's an important piece of scripture when you think about when God is speaking to a people, okay, an ethnic group, a faith begins to form out of that, and it's important to not forget some of these pieces here. And so it begins to explain some things, especially if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, and this first book of the Bible, and he begins to give more explanation. And he says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram," remember we kind of studied this last week, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you a great name so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This interesting thread of scripture of truths that set up what's going on overseas right now and around the world. The ultimate reason, you know, you have this conflict that goes on, but really what this is really about is an unconditional covenant from God to a people. It's not bilateral, which means it's based on the performance of one person, okay? If you go back to this same slide, I've kind of highlighted who's important here. Take a look here. It says this. Look at it. "From your country, I will show you." Do you see the highlights there? I'm just trying to help you out on the screens here. And verse 2, "I will make you." And the next one is, "I will bless you." He didn't say if. He says, "And I will what?" And we've got to realize sometimes God makes some choices and decisions and makes some outcomes that we may not totally understand this side of heaven. Have you ever realized that? I keep running into that a lot lately, okay? He kept saying this over and over. This covenant says, basically saying, this covenant totally depends on me, God, and it isn't based on your faithfulness, Jewish people. Hold on a minute, because if you do any kind of historical study, what did the Jewish people do? They came into being with God and, oh my goodness, and worship, and then they fell away. And then, oh my goodness, through devastation, and it kind of sounds like Bill Williams' life a little bit if you're not careful, right? That's me, by the way. Have you ever found yourself really intense with God and then you kind of fall? Has anybody ever got a little off course? All right, we all have. It's interesting. That's humans, but it's not based on the Jewish people. It's based on God, and he's saying, even if you're faithless, I'm faithful. I don't know about you, if I were to have to make decisions on the Jewish nation and looked across all of the Old Testament, I'd probably give up on them pretty quick. If you look at all their gyrations along the way. But God never gives up on his promises. Let me say that again. God never gives up on his promises. And isn't that good news for today? See, I want to make sure we don't just think history. This is the same God that was the same in the beginning as he is today, as he will always be, is the same God that we're talking about. This personal, the second thing that we find in this covenant, it's personal. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He said he's going to come from Abram. It's a personal covenant to and with Abram. He said, I bless you, Abraham, and I'll make your name great. He changes that name. And in fact, if you think about, we're 4,000 plus years from that episode, and we find that Jews and Christians and Islam, or the Muslim, they're all remembering the name of Abraham. Amen? So that has been fulfilled and continues to be fulfilled. He also says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, isn't it interesting that we can say, okay, and in the end, God's promises will always come true. Would you say it's a good statement?
Yes.
Except for who? See, we sometimes forget some of our faith walk when it comes to looking at the terrible things that are going on around the world. And it's not just focus. Right now, the media, it's Palestine or Israel or whatever you want to call that area, Middle East. But look around the rest of the world. Did you know how many wars are going on right now? Tribal wars there's so much. And we can lose track. This little piece of land right now, though, is surrounded by nations that want to not just take over the land, but they want to wipe out a people. Hurts my heart. I hope it hurts yours. Oh, let me just say, there's been wrongs done throughout history on both sides of this line. I'm not saying everybody is perfect here and not perfect there. Would y'all agree with that? Like whoever you're married to, they're perfect and you're not. You'd probably agree with that, right? See, notice I didn't say which there. You guys can wrestle that out. But there's this territorial clause. Now, again, please, I'm not trying to stand anywhere. I want you to have a faith walk with the Lord, and I want you to research and come up with your own conclusions. But if you go to Genesis chapter 15, God defines the land and the promise to Abram the best I can find. And hey, if you study and have other evidences, please come share them with me. But look here what it says in chapter 15. It says, on the day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, and from the river of Egypt. And it goes through all of these defining, these are tribes, these are nomadic people that have lived there for generations. He said, I'm going to give you all that. I've got to take it up with God when we get up there, right? This didn't seem fair to those people. I'm bringing you scripture, and all I can say is that my human rationalization of fair sometimes doesn't prevail, but when I read scripture and trust it, I always know it's from God. You say, well, wait a second. All of this is going to happen, and so I did a little quick summary. These slides are available. I'm not going to read them all, but these are everything that was listed in that verse is 18 through 21. People from Canaan, Esau, people from all around. This just gives you a little idea of what was in the land. Now, I will have to make a side note right here. Before World War II, back prior to 1948 when Israel became a state, back before that Second World War, there were Arabs and Jewish tribes that occupied that area. Okay, and the way the Israel or Jewish people at that time came in, they would come up to an Arab that owned land and said, I'd like to buy some land, and they bought the land and they created a kibbutz or whatever, right? That's what happened. It's when they became the state, when it got all crazy and everybody got really upset. Now, prior to that, there's sultans and people, there's wars and, oh my gosh, I'm going to show you here in just a minute. But all these people God put into the Bible, all I'm trying to do is bring us back to the Bible without me doing too much commentary, is it's in there. And I'm going to have a few questions when I get to heaven to ask God, how can this make sense? Anybody else got any questions for God when you get there? But as your pastor or one of your pastors, I really am just trying to give you ballast of truth as you carry what's going on around you. The covenant with Abraham was for multiple generations forward. And we go to Genesis chapter 28, and you think, and there's such a lot of history, but the covenant with Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Remember, we know that phrase. Look what it says here in verse 13 of chapter 28. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, Jacob had taken a nap on a rock, anyway, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. Interesting verse, isn't it? I didn't make it up. When you look at the history of Israel, somewhere in the next period of time, they begin to go through battles and exile and be dispersed across the entire world, and they did not have a land. But in this moment, he's promising that. And we find if we go just a little further, Genesis, that's why you want these slides. Go do your homework, amen? It says, and then he says this in chapter 35, and the God said to him, your name is Jacob, no longer shall your name be called Jacob, but what? Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel, and God said to him, I am the God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and the king shall come from your own body. It continues on, the land that I have given Abraham and Isaac I give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring thereafter. Folks, I just have to say there's a lot of crazy going on. And I know that we have been given more than just over here huddle up in America and just walking out life and hope they figure it out. We are connected to the lineage. Jesus was a Jew, okay? We are connected in some crazy way. There's nothing that happens. The signs of the times, the Bible says we're to be aware of. Would you agree with that? There should be some, whatever's going on around the other side of the globe should be on our radar as to, and us asking the Lord, what does that do for me? Is it just that I need to upgrade to the next iPhone? Is that the most important thing? Or should I be doing what? There are many things we should be doing. Again, I'm going to flip through stuff because I don't want to go through all this. Wonderful, right? Here's what I'm saying. Israel only occupied that area during David's reign in that era for a short period of time compared to the rest of the time that is. This is history since Jacob became Israel. And I already shared about that. And here's what I'm trying to focus in on. And I don't want to leave today without just saying, oh, that was a great history lesson. I need us to hear what the scripture says. The God that we worship, amen? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And through the lineage of Jacob all the way down to Jesus Christ, which today we worship as our Savior. Amen? And the Prince of Peace that was talked about, the aspect of us knowing there's something greater than our intellect, our ability to rationalize and reason, our greatest AI computers can't figure out is the will of God for all time and for all mankind. But what we can do is we can say, Lord, I don't understand this. And I'll just on a personal note, I hate any time a baby or a child or somebody innocent is killed. I don't care where they live or where they come from. Please hear that. Because, but also no war is hard. Do you know what we need to be doing? Is realizing that everybody fighting, everybody that's perishing is a child. Somewhere in the equation, they were a child. Anybody here miss that stage? And they had a mom and a dad, or maybe they're a mom and a dad, maybe they're a brother or a sister. Are we praying for them, regardless of their flag or label? Oh, but they're evil. Jesus died for all. He has called the church to realize that. Those that realize the heart of Jesus, of God who sent Jesus to give up his life for us, isn't so that we could get there and who cares about everybody else. Now, it's easy to say those poor fellows around on the side of the world. How about across your street? How about those people that wore the other jerseys just the other day? Well, we're still doing the playbacks on that, you know. Don't we get hung up sometimes? And God says, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. All of this is hard. I actually thought, you know, any like smart pastor wouldn't bring this subject up. It's probably not politically or whatever. I mean, but I thought, if I could give you some scripture and then ask you to seek the Lord, to pray, I can encourage you the right direction. The rest you're going to have to sort out with him, okay? But don't get caught up in the current of media and spin. It looks real. I mean, there are some videos that were made up. If you notice the little print at the bottom, graphics for illustration only. You think you're watching live media. Be careful. Be careful. And I'm not talking about just Israel. I'm talking about things of this world. If depending on what we do next week, if I'm still in the pulpit, I'm going to talk about end times, eschatology. Yeah, and three easy steps. No, that's not true. But that basically means, what does all this mean and what are we to do? What's our, you know, you've heard me joke, I'm not on the planning committee, I'm just on the get ready committee, the reception committee. I hope that we're all in that way thinking about, what does this mean? Am I ready? Am I responding? If I knew this was the end of the end, who do we want to go to heaven and who do we want to go to hell? I hate having that choice, but you being apathetic to those that don't love Jesus might cause them to miss heaven. Pretty bold, isn't it? Well, we just need to hire more preachers to get out there and get on the street. No, we got plenty of the church that just needs to be the church. It needs to be the hope bearers, the light bearers. You don't have to go out and preach. Just live it the way Jesus would want you to live it. Amen? So we can pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That we talked about last week in Psalms 122. We can pray for all the leaders, wisdom. How many like a little more wisdom? See, you're a leader. We need to pray for you too, right? How about safety for all active duty of any army? Not that their mission's fulfilled, but how about just safety of their lives? I don't know. That was probably a wrong statement. Anyway, how about for the families who have lost or have been impacted? There are people that are not even involved in anything, but they've been impacted. So I'm gonna take liberty to do something. Can I have a few more minutes of your time? Would that be all right? Are we good?
Yeah.
And I do want to say, if you have any questions or I've brought confusion, I want you to come talk to me. We'll open the Word of God, and we will study together. That is a Pastor Tyler's new baby. and Rachel's. I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway, that, I just love it. Did you eat? I just love it. I love it. See, it changes the atmosphere immediately, doesn't it? That's good. I want to wrap up kind of where we started this today, and I want to give, again, a special thanks to military veterans in active duty. We are thankful. I also want to do one more little history lesson. We sing this, and we don't sometimes understand it. And I just want to, you know, there's a lot of anthems out there for nations. Wouldn't you say? I mean, every time you see some foreign whatever, they've got an anthem going, and it's got words. One thing about ours is it's got some cool stuff in it. Have you really looked at it? And this is the last few minutes I want us to bring back to here. You've sung this. This is verse one. There's actually, I think, four verses. We always sing one and maybe two, but I'm going to bring one and four because four is usually a number two. I'm making a big mess of this, but anyway. Land of the free and the home of the brave. There's not a lot of countries with anthems that can say it's a land of the free. Hello. And part of that freedom is men and women who commit their lives for our freedom. Please don't ever underestimate when somebody says they're enlisting or being drawn in. And I'm, again, hear me. It's not trying to say everything's right that we have done in the history of America. But those men and women signed up with a duty and they tried to fulfill their duty best they can, okay? They're humans and they're sons and their daughters. We can do that. But here's the thing. We think, oh, that's it. Play ball, right? I thought that was at the bottom of this particular stanza, right? How about this one? This is the fourth verse. Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved home and war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heavens rescue land. I can't read it. Praise the power that hath made and preserved a nation. Now that is capital P, and because I'm a preacher, going to say that's the Holy Spirit power, but it may not be. But here's the next part that I think people forget. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and let this be our motto, and God is our trust. Folks, we forget, it goes back down to the home of the land of the free and brave. I think we forget how set apart we are. And we can debate later if this is a Christian nation or what. Let me just say, Christian Judeo principles were in the ingredients of writing our Constitution. Can everybody at least agree with me on that? Okay. It's important that you realize who you are. Because the world and the author of this world doesn't want you to know your identity. There's a spiritual identity that gets changed at the saying yes to Jesus. It's immediate. And where you were and who you were changes immediately. And that's the most important identity to have. But then you really need to know who you are as far as where you live. If you're indecisive, your witness, your testimony is weak. You do not have to wave a flag, but you can say, I am living in the protection of the United States of America.
Amen. That's
right. Anybody in here like to leave? Because I think that there are more people in this world trying to get into America than leave right now. See, I kind of went, preacher, you're meddling now. I know that. So here's where I want to wrap up, because it's always good to wrap up with God. Can I just do that? How about this? Would you all join me by standing? We'll close in prayer. This, and then I'll close in prayer. The emphasis, I really want us to hear more than anything, is not America. The emphasis is God.
Yeah.
A relational covenant with the Almighty is found through saying yes to the free gift Jesus Christ brings us. So I have a son still active duty. We have a son. We've had two other family members of our kids active duty. And many of you have the same thing. And we just want to, again, say thank you to that. But I'd like to... Is anybody opposed to God blessing America? How about filling in the gaps where we're not doing well?
Yeah.
Can he do it?
Yeah.
That's the kind of, when I sing this, like, God, bless America. I mean, no, not always, but you know what I'm saying? He's already blessed us, but we want to keep it, right? All right. Let's sing it together. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. This is a great prayer out of Ephesians chapter 3. And I pray that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you being rooted and grounded in love. And everybody said, amen. All right, team. It's football season. We've been in the locker room now. You've watched the tapes from the other day. Now you know how to do it. We need to go out of the locker room here, tap the high, you know, the threshold on your way out, and you're getting ready to go onto the field of life, right? And you're the team. You're on the right team. Doesn't matter which way to the goal is. It's called the cross. It's called to go out in his power and strength. Amen? Okay, let's go. Are you rallied up? Do you realize you're going to be on the winning team? The victory's already won. You've got the right colors on. I won't tell you which color, but anyway, go out and be the one. God bless you. Be the church. You're dismissed.
Here is where I lay it down, every Every day that I awake, there's a thought that I just can't escape. What is my purpose for today? I pursue a million things, I jump through hoops and mindless rings. This isn't what I was made for. I belonged here. That's 'cause I'm made for your arms.